Stories from the Past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Dear listeners, thank you so very much for joining us on today's brand new episode of The Lantern. I don't know what the reason is. And it's so much so that we constantly come across memes and jokes and reels and whatever about this topic on social media, and I'm somehow glad that it's more openly talked about in a very lighthearted sort of quality. Maybe it will raise more awareness in the next generation, because the past generation is a lost cause to a certain degree. But in certain cultures, the amount of toxic talk down children receive from their parents is just ridiculous. I am in no position to tell parents how to raise their kids or tell cultures how to culture. But again, just from personal experience, when I compare the different families that I see around me from different backgrounds, and the way the parents and the children interact with each other, the words that are used, God, words are so, so, so important. The way we talk to each other, our choice of words, sometimes even the tone we use. And I'm just telling this to remind myself, because I can be so salty and so sassy sometimes in the way I speak. I go back and I think about it in my head, and I was like, dang, I was such a jerk. And so many ahadith and riwayat and ayat warn us about this matter. Let's listen to a story about this, about choice of words and the impact they have on other human beings. And we'll be right back.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Salamun Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of Lantern. Wranglers and Strangers is the title of today's story. Many years ago, there were a group of brilliant young men at the University of Wisconsin. The group of men seemed to have an amazing creative literary talent and were extraordinary in their ability to put their literary skills to its best use. These promising young men met regularly to read and critique each other's literary works. These men were merciless while they criticized one another. They accepted the most minute of the expressions and offered tough and even mean criticism to each other's work. These meeting sessions became arenas of literary criticism, and the members of this exclusive club called themselves the Strangers. Not to be excluded to the opportunity to level up their literary skills, women of the literary interest in the university started a club of their own, one comparable to Stranglers. The members called themselves the Wranglers. The member of the loop, too, presented their literary pieces in front of each other, but the feedback from members were much more softer. more pathetic and more encouraging. Every effort from a member, even the more feeble one, was encouraged by all. After 20 years, a university alumnus was doing a study of his classmate's career when he noticed the huge difference in the literary accomplishments of the Stranglers and the Wranglers. Among all the brilliant young men in the Stranglers, none had made any significant literary achievement, but the Wranglers have several successful writers and some renowned national literary talents. The talent and the education between the two groups were almost the same. The Stranglers strangled each other while the Wranglers gave each other a lift. The Stranglers created an atmosphere of contention and self-doubt, while the Wranglers brought out the best in each other. The greatest success we'll know is helping others succeed and grow. That was the famous quote by Georgie Scott Reid.
The Lantern.
Under the light of lantern, we'll look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
I don't know if you guys remember, but a few years back, maybe 10, 20 years back, this Japanese scientist did a little experiment with water molecules, and he wrote encouraging, loving, caring words onto, you know, a sample of water, and he wrote bad, violent, hostile words onto another sample of water, and then he checked the molecules under a microscope after a while, and then he saw that the water that was spoken to nicely and gently, the molecules, well, not the molecule structure itself, but the shape of it, were more harmonized and beautiful, while the water that was abused, you know, verbally abused, became ugly under a microscope. I don't know if you guys remember that. I'm just saying that we're 70%, 65% water, so imagine the effect of words on us. But the human soul is obviously more conscious and intelligent than water molecules. And we pick up the smallest frequencies and radiations in a person's words, especially as children. Their souls are so pristine and their minds are so clear that the smallest gesture, we think that, oh, they're just kids, you know, they just let it slide. They don't remember, but no. They're so impressionable. And their souls, because it's so fresh, we leave prints on it without realizing. Now they're happy, bubbly, perky, chirpy little kids because they don't have to pay bills or turn in theses or pay mortgage. But once the going gets tough, they will reveal all that stuff that was boiling up on the inside, all those internal prints we left on them. And then, you know, the end result is this really bitter, depressed, insecure society with the confidence level of a turnip. There's a hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam, and I feel that I understand this hadith, the gravity of this hadith, the older I get, that says the human tongue is like a wild animal, it's a sabu', and if you let it loose, it will devour and shred people apart. And I've seen so many people who have zero control over their tongues, and they literally just say whatever the heck it is that's on their mind, and not necessarily in a bluntly honest bluntly honest, awkwardishly cute sort of Luna Lovegood kind of way. It's savage and it's just downright rude and impolite. And it is so important, one of the ways of training the nafs and the ego is for us to have control over our tongues and to have higher awareness and mindfulness regarding the words we choose, our vernacular, our vocabulary, and the tone in which we say certain things to certain people. And of course, there's the hadith that really keeps you safe, where it says, if you don't have anything good or useful to say, just stay quiet. Or the other hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali alayhi salam that says, إِذَا تَمَّ الْعَغْنَ غَسْلَ الْكَلَامِ, when the intellect becomes complete, the words are shortened. In other words, when you're smarter, you talk less. What does that say about me and my career, really? I get paid to talk. It's horrible. Anyway, the point is, please be careful of the things you say. I'm saying this mostly to myself. It's really, really, really important to think before we speak. Because the consequences of those words are dire, are so profound for us and for the person who's at the receiving end. And we will only realize it when it's too late, unfortunately. Thank you for being with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi taqma'innu.